are joined now by James Williams, filling in for Anna Richards today with the Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP. James, thank you for being here today.
Well, Aaron, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
And we're going to have you in the studio again next week to talk about a historical event that's upcoming, the bicentennial birthday of Frederick Douglass, and the plans that are being made for that here in our community, right?
Yes, I'm looking forward to that conversation. I think I'll be joined by a couple of other people, mm-hmm. and the plans are going quite well, and I think we'll have some good information to share with your listeners next week related to that.
So no spoilers on that, but we were talking during the break about other sort of historical other events of historical significance that are celebrating anniversaries or we're commemorating the anniversaries of them this month, and one of them not a 200th anniversary but 150th anniversary of a constitutional convention.
Right. So so this month, November actually of 1867, there was a significant referendum that was being held that paved the way for the Constitutional Convention of 1868. So in November of 1867, that referendum was related to choosing delegates for the Constitutional Convention, and at that, that was the first election, as I understand it, statewide election in the state of North Carolina, where black men were allowed to vote in a statewide election. Prior to November 1867, there had been the registration of voters in the month of August, and this was all under military rule because this was during Reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
But that registration in August, in which black men voters were allowed to register, and then the referendum in November, in which delegates were chosen for the 1868 Constitutional Convention. And the contest basically was between Republicans and Democrats, and the Republicans were the newly created party, the party of Lincoln, so to speak, nationally, and was newly created in North Carolina. And they won 107 of the 120 convention seats. And of that majority, 15 were black, including James W. Hood and my favorite, Abraham Galloway. So there were 15 blacks chosen as delegates for the 1868 Constitutional Convention, and I refer to them as the first black congressional delegation.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly they were the first in the state of North Carolina. And you know, it's also interesting how we got there, because December 6, 1865, of course, we had the 13th Amendment went into effect, abolishing slavery. And that could have been the end of it if things had worked ideally, but the way most of the southern states, practically all, including North Carolina, responded was to create a structure that allowed what can only be referred to as slavery by another name.
Mm-hmm.
So in the spring of 1866, North Carolina adopted what's called the Black Codes, and that basically resulted in restrictions and restraint of the newly freed African Americans in what amounted to practically slavery. But it was simply called something else.
Mm-hmm. Literally, right? I mean, those codes had existed before. They were called the slave codes,
right? They were
and
called
they just
the slave codes,
the word slave,
right?
Yeah, and enacted everything else.
Right, and so no right to vote, mm-hmm. No right to serve on juries. You could not testify even in court against a white person, if you were black, you were prohibited from testifying against. And then all types of restraints in terms of your labor and your services and things of that nature. And so it did basically amount to slavery by another name. The Republican-controlled Congress, some refer to them as the Radical Republican Congress, saw what was going on, and as a result of that, in 1867, that's when the 14th Amendment was passed by Congress. So what they were attempting to do was to get the southern states to adopt the 14th Amendment. Most all refused except, I think, Tennessee. So in response to this refusal, then you had the military control of the South extended. And as a precondition for reentering the Union, they were required to pass the 14th Amendment and allow newly freed slaves men the right to vote, among other things. And this referendum in 1867 came about as a result of those acts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that as we look forward, so in 1868 there was a constitutional convention, and we got a constitution in the state of North Carolina that significantly expanded democracy in the sense of establishing a public education, in the sense of giving the right to vote to black men, and in a number of other respects, in making provisions for the care of the poor. Those types of things were included in this constitution. And so we look forward to, when we look at what's happening today, there's talk of a constitutional convention next year.
Mm-hmm.
That does the exact opposite. It actually represses or suppresses democracy, especially as it relates to the judiciary and the legislative power grab to control the judiciary in the state of North Carolina through using sort of the constitutional amendment process. And mm-hmm. That's one thing that they have in mind.
Right, right. Yeah. Speaking with James Williams and talking about the immediate aftermath of the Civil War, those 10 years of Reconstruction, which I'm still continuously fascinated by how enamored so many people are with the Civil War and how forgotten the 11 years after the Civil War is, because Reconstruction is so profoundly important, so revolutionary, and it's a revolution that is cut off in 1876, a lot of promise that just never got fulfilled because of the way
right.
it ended.
Yeah, that's true. There was a lot of good that was done through these elected officials that were elected during Reconstruction. They weren't perfect, but then nothing is ever perfect. But in terms of making efforts to, as I said, to provide for the most needy, in making sure that the public had access to education, in terms of making sure that the right to vote was not dependent upon wealth, for instance. Those types of things are things that were passed and made into law mm-hmm. by these legislatures that were usually comprised of both of black and white voters, of poor and wealthy people. That was a fairly diverse bunch. Unfortunately, as a result of, well, several things. One was just a blatant appeal to racism,
mm-hmm.
But also compromise, you know, with the North, that led to the end of the military support that was still required, in the South to make things work. And once that so-called compromise was reached, and the federal government pretty much pulled out and left the former slaves to the whims of their former masters, and we went through 100 years of darkness, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just a reminder that rights that are won can be lost again. And if you win today, the fight goes on. And if you lose today, the fight goes on. Right, either way. But this is the, we're talking about this because November is the 150th anniversary of the selection of the delegates, right, for the Constitutional Convention. Mm-hmm. We're talking about this with Scott Washington a couple of weeks ago, that November is also, November 10th, I think, is the anniversary of the Wilmington riot in 1898,
in which
those rights were lost even more.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, it's part of that historical tendency that, you know, I'm sure we talked about before, that you have these moments in history where steps, progressive steps, are taken, whether it's related to labor, but particularly when it's related to race. You have these moments when things are done positively, but almost each time there is some pushback and there are steps toward repression. And sometimes the two are marching in lockstep. And we see that, you know, I say currently now, I still say that a lot of what we are experiencing today is a reaction to the election of President Obama as president, a couple of election terms ago, and so we see what's happening both at the federal level. I mean, it seems like now almost every week there is some action by the Attorney General Sessions, sort of rolling back decisions, steps that were put in place by the Obama administration and his attorney generals to protect people's civil and constitutional rights. It seems that practically all of those are being whittled away by Jeff Sessions, and that's just going to continue. Mm-hmm. We see what types of judges are being appointed to the bench. These hearings, a lot of these candidates some of them have never tried a case in a day in their lives. A lot of them are woefully unqualified, but what they have is this extreme conservative bent and this hostility toward anything approaching civil rights, and that's what he wants to fill the bench with, and he's probably going to get his way.
Speaking with James Williams, Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP, you can find them online, Chapel Hill Carborough, NAACP.wordpress.com is the website, or just Google Chapel Hill NAACP, it'll come right up. James, we've got to let you go in a second, but before we do, you mentioned Abraham Galloway as your personal favorite, and I wanted to know why.
Yes, Abraham Galloway is just a remarkable person. Mm-hmm. First, he was a former slave. He was a slave. He was from Eastern North Carolina. He escaped. He became a spy, basically, for the Union Army. He would come back into the South, provide information about where troops were located, that sort of thing. He helped raise armies out of the African black soldiers for the Union Army. He had meetings with, at least one meeting with, Abraham Lincoln. He was just, and he was basically illiterate. I mean, he could not, he was a courageous person. He eventually became, was elected to the North Carolina legislature after the end of the Civil War and during Reconstruction. Very influential, very outspoken, and very instrumental in achieving some of the very positive things that I spoke about that happened during that Reconstruction period. So I admire him greatly, because it shows that you don't have to be from a rich background to make a difference, that there are things that all of us can do. Maybe we can't be an Abraham Galloway, but there are things that we all can do in life to make this a better place.
James Williams, I love having you on. I just turn your microphone on and step back, and I'll learn something. It's terrific. Right. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll talk to you again next week on the Douglas Bicentennial. Thank you. Sure.